Hi, this is Ben Wilder with another edition after a long while of the Thoughts on Thrillers podcast. We'll be finishing up wave three, talking about Easy Go, me and, well, my dad again. Say hi, Dad.
Hi, it's Joe Wilder.
Anyways, Easy Go is another early Michael Crichton written under the pseudonym John Lang. John Lang, basically what happens is an Egyptologist, while retranslating hieroglyphics, comes across a hidden code, a secret message in the hieroglyphics, detailing the location of a previously unknown tomb. He gets the idea of to try and rob it, but has no idea how to go through with it. When he stumbles upon an old acquaintance named Pierce, Robert Pierce, I believe? They just call him Pierce most of it, so I'm not certain, but I think it's Robert Pierce.
It could well be.
Anyways, Pierce, when Barnaby tells him about it, Pierce takes over and comes up with an ingenious idea. Rather than actually getting the loot out of the country and selling it, per se, they're going to prove the tomb exists with pictures and blackmail the Egyptian government, threatening that if they don't get a lot of money, they'll either melt it down or sell it off to other governments like Israel. Which, well, you do the math on that one. Evan, to be on the safe side as an insurance plan in case it goes south, they do plan to hide a small box of artifacts. They plan to ship them down the Nile and hide them. But as with Michael Crichton, all Michael Crichton novels, things don't always go exactly as planned. That's background. Anyways, what I find great about this novel, what really makes it, is the characters. You're at one point rooting for them and against them simultaneously. At least I was. On one hand, you don't want the tomb robbing to succeed. No, it's not exactly the nicest thing, so to speak. But on the other hand, you don't want them to go to jail. Or anything over, you care for them too much to want anything bad like that to happen, and that's what really draws you in, wondering will they succeed, will they fail, and which would be better. Thoughts, Dad?
Well, I agree with you. It's an interesting perspective that the book is written from. It's written from the bad guy's perspective, which you don't usually get in the in a novel.
I wouldn't quite go so far to say bad guys per se, that's more of an oversimplification. Yes, they are, what they're doing is illegal, but they're definitely not bad people. They don't hurt or kill anyone, and you can't help rooting for them. And actually, you get lots of novels from Crook's perspectives. It's not perspectives. Those are common enough. At least I believe they are. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure they exist. Well, I know Michael Crichton does one. A later book, The Great Train Robbery, like that.
Well, maybe that's the thing about Crichton, is that he does write them from the perspective of the criminal. But since you can't name any, and in my recollection, I can't think of any, that's why I made the comment that it's written from the perspective of the ones who are breaking the law.
True, but they're more of an anti-hero than an outright villain protagonist, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Well, I would say that they're not unsympathetic characters. As you point out, they're not killing anybody or hurting anybody physically.
And even the person... Never mind. I was getting off on a tangent.
Well, the other thing is they have to work very hard in order to discover this treasure and things.
Just like the real thing. And one of the interesting changes in Barnaby, who's the character you're introduced to first, though does become eclipsed by Robert Pierce when he takes over as the main character, is that, like, at first when he discovers the message, he thinks, like, a while ago, the pension or the fame would have been nice, but at this point in his life, basically he has a sort of midlife crisis, leading him to think, what's the point in all, Oh, this, oh, I discovered a big tomb, whoop-de-doo, what have I really done with my life? That's what leads into it. But as they go on doing the work and being careful, work to discover the thing, taking care not to leave any signs. Well, they leave signs, but, like, for example, they smoke cigarettes, but they make sure they're Egyptian cigarettes, stuff that locals would have, and so on and so forth. Anyways, as they go on, he sort of you can see his love of archaeology being rekindled. And with Pierce, you, or at least I, get the feeling that he wants to go through with it, not so much for the money, he even says as much, he doesn't really care about the money, but for the challenge, the thrill of it all. Yeah, maybe he can't back out because he has partners in the venture who are promised money, but you can see that's not, you get the feeling that that's not his main driving motivation.
Yes, I would agree with that, as far as the guy's perspective about why he started and his motives at the end.
Yeah.
So overall, I enjoyed the book.
And it is an early one, and he wrote it pretty quickly, like most of his early pen name books, so it's not quite as well crafted as a lot of his later books. But even so, you can still see that he did the research on Egypt and stuff. Like, one story that stuck with me, is the story of how there were tomb robbers back then, all the way back then. And in fact, that's why there were only a few pyramids before the Egyptians stopped building them. They were like, magnet, tomb full of riches here. And as time went on, the trend became for greater and greater secrecy in the tombs. Rather than a grandiose display, because that's, an invitation to tomb robbers. And the tomb robbers in this one use their influence to get off. Well, the tomb robbers in his story of the past, not the present. Present.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, I was worried my thing crashed. Hopefully it seems to be working now. I'll check back later. Hopefully we won't have to re-record this. If we do, we'll do it tomorrow, okay?
Yeah.
I'll probably edit that. Nah, I won't edit that part out. Two more thoughts I'd like to
okay, go ahead.
Say. One is they do mention about how the whole notion of tombs being cursed started. When Tutankhamun's tomb was uncovered, it is true that a lot of people involved in it did die of mysterious death, but there was no mention of a curse on the tomb itself or the hieroglyphics. Just the general do not disturb the sanctity of the dead thing, but no vague warning or stuff. However, when the media got a hold of the story of people dying mysteriously, they blew it all out of proportion in the first media frenzy blow-up of in history. History, which continues to this day to some degree.
Yes.
And finally, here we're going to get into some spoilers, talk about the ending. The ending, in my mind, was the perfect ending. Like I said, you don't want him to get caught, but you don't want him to go to jail, but you don't want him to get away with robbing the tomb either. And that's exactly what happens. They do get found out, but for, I don't know, like saving face or whatever, the Egyptian government basically lets them off, but letting them know that, yeah, they're aware they could arrest them, but if you play along, you'll get a nominal fee. It's like some money, the fame. And most importantly, you won't have to go to jail. So they don't get rich, but at the same time, they don't go to jail, which, like I said, in my mind, is the perfect ending.
Yes, well, and I guess if you think about it, it's not like they really stole stuff, right? I mean, they set it out there as, oh, well, here, this is an example of the things, and now they're not going to jail for that. They're just going to work on finding the tomb. I guess that's not too much of a spoiler.
Well, it is a spoiler as it spoils the end per se, but that's why I warned you before we started, so if you wanted to turn off, you could. Anyways, that's it really. That's easy go. I want to thank you, Dad, for joining me.
Thanks, Dad.
Next, I haven't decided what I'll do. My next one, I'll probably cover Digital Fortress by Dan Brown again, but I'll probably have a different guest by that time. Well, take care. Bye.
Ha ha ha!